welcome back everyone to another episode of the Young Pyromancers Podcast. I am your host Ezra, and joining me is, as per usual, my co-host Charlie, and we also have our friend Miles back from the lands of beyond.
Finally. Beyond are very interesting. Okay.
Yeah, from beyond.
There's just no Wi-Fi, so.
Was there actually no Wi-Fi? Well, no Wi-Fi.
Not good enough for two people to be on it at the same time.
Alright, well, we're glad to have Miles back, and today we're going to be talking about our first type of Magic the Gathering players in our three-part mini-series. We're going to be talking about the types of Magic players, Timmy slash Tammy, Johnny slash Jenny, yes, Johnny slash Jenny, which is me, and Spike, which is, Charlie's like a Johnny-Spike hybrid mix type thing, but all that aside, we are going to jump in. Let's ask the existential question. Charlie, what is the essential question?
Yeah, really quick.
Okay, we're in social studies now.
Yeah, so this is Young Pyromancers Podcast episode number 31. Just clarifying, because we haven't said that in a while.
We lose track of what. I'm pretty sure we used the wrong word here. It's an essential question. We used the wrong
word. All right, word. Whatever. The important question, who is Timmy? Yes. And more so, who, what, when, where, why, how is Timmy?
You missed one in the W's, but whatever. As in social studies, yes. We're back in school, guys, middle of summer.
Let's get right into it. Who Miles. Is Timmy?
Starting yes. Miles, who is Timmy?
Timmy is big boom boom creatures. They basically have nothing for the first like four turns of the game, and then turn five everything just comes stampeding on everyone else.
Yeah, as defined by MTG Wiki, unless Ezra would like to read this in one breath.
I can read this in my monotone British 65-year-old man voice.
Sounds great.
Maybe not British, I'll just be old man. Timmy or Tammy is characterized by their tendency to I can just do it monotone in the Siri voice. I'm gonna do that. A Timmy or Tammy is characterized by their tendency to use big creatures and cast big spells. Large, exciting plays motivate them. Timmies are most associated with playing for fun and all kinds of huge creatures, fantastic spells, and mythical enchantments. They're the most social archetype, enjoying the interaction that magic provides. A stereotypical Timmy Tammy is usually a player with a simple yet fun for them deck. They don't care whether they win or lose, but they want to have fun playing really big effects, big creatures, big stompy, big damage, that sort of thing.
Big, basically, dinosaurs, essentially.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs come up a lot.
Just dinosaurs. The elder dinosaurs.
Ixalan.
Yes.
Yeah, in short, Ixalan. Colossal Dreadmaw. Before
Colossal
we get
Dreadmaw
into
is the best card.
What is Timmy here, I want to say, I'm not 100% sure of what this word means still, but this is, Timmy is one of the, actually I want Ezra to talk about this, one of the psychographic something.
Psychographic profile. So like that, when we say the types of magic players, that's like, they are the psychographic types of players, which psychographic is just like what type of mindset you play in, or I don't have the exact definition, but it's your mindset or what you want in a game of magic, like what you enjoy doing, what you enjoy about magic, that type of thing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think that's a pretty good explanation. So now, what is Timmy? By this question, we mean, what is Timmy going to be doing in the context of a commander game? So starting off the game, Timmy's not going to be making super important plays in Timmy's eyes. But to be fair, in Timmy's eyes, an important play is, you know, a Colossal Dreadmaw or a big green creature. So rather than playing these large creatures that cost a lot of mana and can only be cast on the later turns of the game, Timmy's going to be playing the spells that allow him to cast those spells early. These cards are called Ramp. Yeah.
Ramp codes, such as like codes like Llanowar Elves, Sakura Tribe Scout, Sakura Tribe Elder, Utopia Sprawl, Wild Growth, Elvish Mystic. Those, your classic green or color, traditionally green spells that will be be getting you lands into the battlefield, ramping you so that you can play land into those later tokens.
Them for mana.
Right. Getting you more mana than you would normally have so that you can play your giant, huge Eldo Dinosaur that much earlier.
Then that makes it so that way, instead of like playing your big things on turn 7, you can play them on like turn 4 or 5, which is a big help because then you get big boom boom sooner. So you can play.
That's the goal.
Like Avenger of Zendikar, the earlier it's played, the better, because then the more lands come out and the bigger they get. You can play like Galta sooner. You can play like big dinosaurs like Apex Altasaur if you're playing a Zakama, like that kind of things.
Your big, gigantic, dumb creatures that you're going to cheat, either cheat into play with something. Enchantment. Well, yes, Colossification is a very Tammy code.
Why don't we read Colossification really quickly?
Yes, because Colossification,
kind of a legendary card printed in a recent set of Ikoria. Colossification is 5 green for an enchantment aura. Enchant creature. When Colossification enters the battlefield, tap enchanted creature. Enchanted creature gets +20/+20. It's hilarious, really.
I swing with my 32/32 Galta Primal Hunger.
Right.
I can see.
The reason why this card ends up actually being decent in Commander is because you can attach it to any creature, preferably your commander, with Trample. And because Sorak doesn't have Trample, but if you attach it to any other commander, Sorak maybe not the greatest example, but commanders, if you have like a 1/1 commander with Trample, then you can attach it to it. And Sorak has lots of ways of getting Trample himself.
Mm-hmm.
But just attaching Colossification to anything big with Trample will end up destroying your opponents.
Yeah, and it feels like a very Timmy thing to do. Timmy's like, oh, I'm rubbing my hands in anticipation for the moment I get to do this. My creature is going to become so big. Just don't predict the Doomblade.
Right, and then, so, of note is, we are going to be talking about in this episode, this episode, we have, and are going to be providing, the deck list to Miles' Sorak Dragonclaw deck, which is
not budget.
It's pretty easy to build out of budget. There's just a couple of expensive cards that Miles just happened to have.
Right,
in
like
the
a
deck.
Shockland and an Adventure of Zendikar. Right.
That type of thing. But, so that is the example deck. Charlie, why don't you read our subgroup of Timmies? So there's lots of, there are Timmies, but then there's subgroups of Timmies.
Just in case that wasn't clear, we're going to be, in this episode and in future episodes, talking about different psychographic player types. We're going to be using a deck that identifies with that player type that we have, and we're going to be kind of referencing that and talking about those cards as we talk about the deck in a way to kind of demonstrate that. So in this case, we're using Miles Sorak deck because it is a Timmy deck. So talking about the different subgroups of Timmy, some of them are Power Gamers. Power Gamers love playing big creatures and big spells as they smash their way to victory. They equate power with fun. Seems like a pretty colossal Dreadmaw type thing. Social Gamers thrive on the social aspect of the game. Their only interest is interacting with their friends. Thus, they tend towards multiplayer variants. Also, Colossal Dreadmaw. Diversity Gamers experience all the different deck types and formats. They always try something different because they enjoy constant exploration. Also
Dreadmaw.
Feels like a Colossal Dreadmaw type thing. And Adrenaline Gamers enjoy the variance in the game, playing cards and decks that don't have a predictable outcome. They love cards that work differently each time you play them, like coin flip cards. Or
Colossal Dreadmaw.
Yeah, Colossal Dreadmaw, or maybe even something like Possibility Storming out a Colossal Dreadmaw.
Yes. Okun Ayo Chaos.
Yeah. And then there's Griefers, which are basically just the jerks of Magic.
They enjoy making other players not have fun.
So basically Azorius Control.
Yes.
Yeah, or something like Muldrotha.
Yeah. More, well, I wouldn't call Muldrotha a Griefer deck, per se. But...
Yeah, I'm... In Muldrotha, I kind of try to find a balance, but...
Like Looping Seal of Doom.
Yeah,
like
so...
Looping Agent of Treachery.
Or Looping Agent of Treachery, yeah.
Something like a Stacks deck that's very oppressive might be a Griefer deck.
Like my Durevri deck that is slowly becoming a Stacks deck. I'm just trying to acquire like more and more stack pieces. Okay. Timmy decks are not usually most complicated, and the play patterns will more or less ramp into big spells every game. Those big spells are cast, and then they attack. So that's just the game plan of Timmy's. And,
Timmy see the other players as too, like, fancy with their combos. And they're too, like, no, I lost, meh.
Right. Timmy
is, yes, I got my big boom boom.
Yeah, Timmy see Johnny's as too focused on combos. And then Spike's are too focused on winning. So Timmy's don't... it's not to say that Timmy decks don't find synergy. Like this Sorak deck, there is synergy with cards like Coldswood Crasher and Proud Wild Bonder, which are benefited by all your creatures having trample. But it has a stark difference in between... this Sorak deck has a stark difference in between this and my Rune deck, which is all focused on... two card combos and synergies and entering the battlefield, do this because it enters the battlefield. Timmy just wants to play. When we say Timmy, we mean Timmy / Tammy, which is to be gender neutral. But when Timmy wants to do stuff, then what am I saying? Timmy wants to play big dumb things.
Just does big stuff. Timmy enjoys synergy, sure, but Timmy doesn't care. If he cares a Galta, he's happy. Or they're happy, rather. Sorry.
Okay, when is Timmy? We're doing who, what, where, when, why.
When is Timmy?
Hang on. Where is Timmy is first?
Who, what, where, when? I thought it was who, when, what, where, why.
No, it's where, no. When. Where, when.
Who, what, where. I'm checking this.
Okay. Who, what, where, when, why have who, what,
always
where.
Or at least
it's who, what, where, when, why. It is definitely who, what, where, when, why.
Definitely not. Whatever. Regardless, it's fine.
Regardless, let's do where Timmy is. So Timmy is actually...
Where is Timmy?
Timmy's in Florida right now. You left.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Timmy's...
Okay, so maybe in Magic, where is Timmy?
Where's Timmy? Timmy took off. Timmy is in Unsanctioned and Unglued. Okay, yeah, continue. Where is Timmy?
Green, or at least most of the time. We kind of just scrolled through Scryfall and said, ooh, this is Timmy Tammy. Ooh, this is Timmy Tammy. And almost every time, actually, I think every time, it had a green. It had some green in it.
We found one commander that doesn't have green in it that's like a Timmy deck.
I'm sure if you really, really wanted to, you could find some more, but generally the consensus is, you know, green is the Timmy colors, or green and a combination of other colors is Timmy.
Right, like Nikia, Zakama, the Submerged Isle that I'm not going to try and pronounce.
Arixmithes.
Arixmithes, thank you.
It's Arixmithes.
Gargos.
Actually, we found two non-green cards, but yes, two non-green Timmy decks are both in black, mono-black specifically. Drauna, Liberator of Malkir, and Kirik, Son of Yawgmoth, are both Timmy-type decks where you're just trying to play lots of things, make them huge. Drauna less of so, because Drauna is more of a go-wide deck, but Kirik is definitely a Timmy deck because you're paying all your life so that you can play stuff like
Big
Kokusho the Dog and
Vilis.
Broker of Blood. That's what I was looking for. And then there's stuff like Progenitus and Nikia, which is just big dumb stuff. Yeah, let's go for when is Timmy. Charlie, you got when is Timmy.
Hold on, I want to mention one card.
Yeah.
Draco. The big 16-mana dragon.
Get Reed Draco. Reed Draco.
All right, let me grab him. Go, Reed, Wen is to me.
Sure. So when is Timmy? This is when is Timmy in a commander game? When is Timmy going to be orchestrating his game plan? To answer this question, Timmy is inevitable. Timmy always arrives, to quote Thanos, more or less.
Timmy is inevitable.
Yeah. No matter how hard you try, Timmy will always arrive. The Colossal Dreadmaw can only be, you can push it back as much as you want, but it will come.
You can counter the Colossal Dreadmaw, but then the Galta will come.
It comes one way or another. But typically, Timmy is usually not going off on turns 1, 2, and 3 due to the sort of more casual feeling of Timmy-style decks.
Turn 4 is normally you're playing things like Goreclaw or Bear Mother.
So 4, 5, 6, and moving on from there are usually the turns where Timmy starts, you know, churning out the big spells, the big, you know, Colossal Dreadmaw, to give a perfect example. You know, there's plenty of cards I could say in this situation, but it always just, it seems like Colossal Dreadmaw is a perfect example here. But just moving up, as you move on, you cast more and more of these spells. Like, to reference some cards from Miles' deck, Avenger of Zendikar, Giant Ataphage, Endraise Forerunners even, Apex Altasaur. There's just a lot of really big creatures. That's the basic idea, and it happens no matter what. You just can't stop it.
Indeed. But the place, it's not aggro because it doesn't happen fast, but once it's there, it's pretty you're kind of swinging out almost every time.
Yeah, you're playing the big creatures, you're attacking. That's about it.
Speaking of really big creatures, Draco is the most expensive card in Magic, coming in 16 mana. It's an artifact creature, a dragon, thus Draco. It's a 9/9, and it's a weird card, but this spell costs 2 less to cast for each basic land type among lands you control. It has flying, and at the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice Draco unless you pay 10 mana. This cost is reduced by 2 for each basic land type among lands you control. So basically, don't play this, just play Progenitist.
Nice. I agree.
Yeah. Or Ancient Stone Idol.
Ancient Stone Idol? How much is Ancient Stone Idol?
I think it's 12, or maybe 10, but it costs less mana.
It's 10. Draco is not a good card.
You can play Dark Steel Colossus, or you can play an Emrakul. Emrakul.
No, you can play a Toxon Worm. That's a cool card. It's a 10 green, white. It's a 9/14 creature worm with Convoke and Trample. Or you can play Enter the Infinite. Anyways, these are all basically Timmy cards because Timmy is the only one who ever wants to have that much mana.
Very expensive.
Okay, why is Timmy? Why does Timmy enjoy playing What They Do? Timmy has a deep-rooted wish to cast large things. They dream at night of casting Galta in their commander games. Timmy and Tammy decks can fulfill the commander's player wish to play a fun deck where they live wild and free and cast their big green creatures over and over and over and over and over and over as other creatures watch in
awe.
No, this is Charlie's writing. Charlie wrote this.
I know, it's impressive, but...
It is very impressive. It's very poetic. But, why is Timmy in short...
Because why not? Why would you not want to play massive creatures and then stomp on your opponents?
I think every Magic player... Every Magic player has some... eventually, at some point in their Magic career, has some kind of wish to be a Timmy. They just go... I'm playing Azorius Control in Pioneer, I'm playing it in Modern, I'm playing Snoko in Legacy, I'm playing Control in Vintage. I just want to play big green things. So you can go to Commander, you can throw together 100 cards, and you can do that. And that's, I think every player has that dream at some time in their career.
Yeah. We all have a Timmy deck, all three of us.
At least. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
One Timmy. I have multiple.
Miles has very many Timmy decks.
I mean,
I can't think of any of your decks that don't have Timmy cards in them.
Zaxxara, like definitely. I mean, big Zaxxara Hydra. Zaxxara
is a Timmy deck, yeah.
Zaxxara. Winota to a degree.
Winota's, but still a Timmy deck at heart. Winota's mostly a Timmy deck.
Yeah, it still feels like the same idea of, I just want to get big things out and, you know, just do stuff and attack. And
yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And, Miles, why don't you read our final thing,
Now it's time to read Charlie's beautiful writing. It's always, what is Timmy? Why is Timmy? Where is Timmy? Never, how is Timmy? This is a reminder to take care of yourself and your mental health. Go outside and enjoy the weather today, except for it's super hot and humid where
it's
we live.
It's a very hot year, and we don't even live in a hot state. It's like,
it gets freezing cold in the winter, and it gets burning hot in the summer.
Welcome to the Midwest. Welcome to the Midwest.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's pretty nice out. This is just a quick reminder. Timmy would want you to. Maybe you'll see a Colossal Dreadmaw. You never know.
as you go outside, I'd rather see go shoot some hoops, and maybe there's a dinosaur on the court. Alright, well, because this is our weekly episode, we decided that we are going to do our Treasured Find and New Horizons. Wait, no, we did the backwards. New Horizons is first.
Wait, guys, I've got
semi-weekly. I predict that we'll talk about that later. But
guys, I've got news. Turned out the case of the flattened outpost and the case of the missing kitten were related.
There's a Colossification flavor text. Grand news. All right. Let's go to our New Horizons. Double Masters is the preview season started yesterday. I believe this is releasing on the day we record this, Tuesday. And there are some insane reprints in this thing. Cyclonic Rift.
Need we say more? No.
Sneak Attack. No, it's just all Commander goodies. Sadly, very expensive. We'll be coming at you with more Double Masters content, probably. In our weekly New Horizons. The whole set has been spoiled, we'll probably do a mini ridiculous. Set review on it.
I'm just... Jace Mind Sculptor, Karin Liberated...
Tron Lands. Yeah. Just what we've seen so far is out of this world.
They didn't reprint Fetch Lands.
They didn't reprint Fetch Lands.
Hey, we don't know that.
They did. In the Scryfall Number Crunch... in the Scryfall Number Crunch it says... And they're not fetch lands because Wizards said we're not reprinting fetch lands in Double Masters.
Yeah.
They better reprint it in Commander Legends, or I'm in a riot.
Blightsteel Colossus is reprinted. Atraxa is getting reprinted, which is cool.
Yeah. I mean, and then they just announced that they're reprinting Brea Aetherium Shaper, which probably means they're just going to do the whole cycle, which is Kaneos and Tiro, Saskia the Nealing, and Yidris, Maelstrom Wanderer.
Ooh.
Which Yidris is.
We were going to build a Yidris deck
early on in our podcasting. I don't know. I think a Yidris deck is buried somewhere in our catalog. Maybe that episode never aired. I'm not 100% sure. But we built a Yidris deck at some point in time.
Yeah.
Yes, Double Masters. That's basically all that's going on. Oh, Jumpstart released on MTG Arena, which is very fun. It's a very fun set. I've done one. I did Feather Friends Lightning, and I won 2 games in a row with it, and then I stopped playing with it, because you don't get any more ICOs after the first one, God.
Sneak Attack, I like this card.
Yeah, Sneak Attack,
and Ezra, very good card. They're reprinting Flicker Wisp for your,
Flicker Wisp for Rune. Yeah, I don't have it in Rune yet, but I will be...
I don't know where my Flicker Wisp went, otherwise I would give it to you.
we've been looking for a Flicker Wisp, but... Anyways, let's jump into Treasured Find with the new Treasured Find theme. Yeah.
Ooh, Treasured Find.
Treasure find, treasure find. Okay. Charlie, like go ahead with the treasure find. Charlie, yours is first in the Google Doc, so you're going first.
Sure. I sort of have two of those today. I have a first one, which is a new card that I really, really like. This is Basri's Solidarity of Basri Ket, that is. Basri's Solidarity is one in a white for sorcery. Put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. That's it. This rate is... if I haven't missed something, feel free to let us know, listeners. I think this is the best rate we've ever seen on a put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control type effect.
I believe so. I think the last best one was Inspiring Roar from Aether Revolt and is 4 mana. In white. I think there's better versions in. I believe there's better versions of it in green.
Probably green or blue, yeah.
Looking at it right now, it doesn't seem like it, no.
But yeah, no, 2 mana. The next one, I think put a +1/+1 counter, but that's definitely not.
Alright, so I looked up the cards that say put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control, which maybe is not the best thing.
Yeah.
Cather's Crusade, there's Shalai, Voice of Plenty. But
yeah,
nothing...
no, looking I'm looking at sorceries here.
There's Pledge of Unity, which is 3 mana. You also gain life for each creature you control, but nothing at 2 mana. Silver Flame Ritual was actually the last decent one, which was in Eldraine. And
which
it also the Adamant.
Long ago.
But I don't... Yeah, I can't find anything that that looks anywhere close to as good.
Yeah, this card is really, really good, especially in decks looking for +1/+1 counters, or even just decks going wide.
It's also white, so that's good too.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't scoff at this effect, but in my just looking at similar cards here, I actually did find one spell that's similar. That spell is Collective Effort from Eldritch Moon. It's 1 white-white for sorcery with Escalate. So to Escalate, you tap an untapped creature you control. You pay that cost for each mode you choose beyond the first. Choose one or more. Destroy target creature with power 4 or greater, destroy target enchantment, and put a +1/+1 counter on each creature target player controls. So, this essentially is a Basri's Solidarity, and then one more white for that Escalate effect. So if you can tap two creatures you control, you can destroy an enchantment and destroy a target creature with power 4 or greater. I think this is a ton of value stapled onto one card. And very cheap, both in price and mana cost at that one. I think this card is incredibly good, really.
If you're playing that, I'd have to guess that you're probably playing Selesnya, because it sounds like a Convoke kind of effect.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But it seems like it's definitely good in Selesnya, but I think this card would just be good in a lot of white decks, a lot of white
it's
decks.
It's good white value, which is kind of hard to come across.
Yeah, this seems like it's probably a 3-for-1. So,
I guess Collective, like the Escalate cards, is only in black, red, and white, which is weird because I thought there was a whole cycle of these collectives, but there's only Collective Defiance, Collective Effort, and Collective Brutality. There's no green and blue ones, which I totally thought there was, but there's actually only 3 of the Escalate rare sorceries.
All right, well, I should read mine if we want to finish in under an hour, because...
Under an hour?
Yes, my treasured find is Capital Aspect Warper. No,
under an hour.
It's just a block of text, Ezra. The entire card is covered. Capital Aspect Warper was one of the precons in C20, and I got all of them with the precons, and he's my favorite, because he's just fun. He's so fun. Catherall is a legendary creature, nightmare insect, and two, a white, a black, and a green, so an Abzan color man. And when Catherall Aspect Warper enters the battlefield, put a flying counter on any creature you control if a card in your graveyard has flying. Repeat this process for First Strike, Double Strike, Death Touch, Hexproof, Indestructible, Lifelink, Menace, Reach, Trample, and Vigilance. Then, put a 1-1 counter on Catherall for each counter put on a creature this way. And you're often putting those counters on Catherall. I remember, actually just a couple days ago, me and Charlie, Ezra died very fast. But
I died very fast in the game.
And then me and Charlie, I got a 9-9 Catherall with every single ability it could possibly have, I think, other than Double Strike, I think. Because I was
Rada deck can't really compete with that. My Rada,
right, and then Charlie was at like 30 life, but still just had to concede because
I'm at 30 life with a bunch of, you know, 1-2 Death Touchers and a Grand Warlord Rada.
I got this indestructible hexproof massive flyer that just is like,
I'm beating a 9-10 hexproof indestructible death touch double strike flying trample.
It had everything on it that it can except double strike.
Yeah.
It was
which is just too dumb. Catherall, very, very strong deck if you can get stuff in the graveyard. I like your Abzan Color Man now every single time because it rhymes. Every time Abzan something's Color Abzan, Man. We're just going to call it an Abzan.
Oh my god,
Color
it does
Man.
Rhyme.
I was just like, that's awesome. Oh, it's also 1-2-3-4. It's 1234 right now. Okay, anyways.
Oh my god, no way.
It's 1-2-3-4 and Abzan Color Man.
This day is amazing.
All right, my treasured find is Broken Bond. It's a sorcery from Dominaria. Broken Bond is 1 and a green for a sorcery. Destroy target artifact or enchantment. You may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield.
Simple.
Yeah,
good.
Pretty simple. Yep. Kills.
Simple.
Though.
Kills a turn 1 Soul Ring and it ramps you. It sounds like a perfect card for a Timmy deck.
Yeah, it could even be on turn 6, just being able to destroy something. It would be better at instant speed,
but then
it
probably
costs
3 mana.
That's true. If it was instant, it would cost 3 mana. But I like this at 2 mana.
Still, Corrosion Grip
like
is better.
Corrosion Grip is a very good card. Don't get me wrong. But this being able to ramp you on turn 2 like makes it worth it.
I think this is definitely comparable to Disenchant in a lot of decks.
Naturalize.
Yeah, I think having it being sorcery speed but ramping you is probably worth it in a good,
decks. Really, you run both Naturalize and this, and if you have one, a Corrosion Grip.
That's true. Corrosion Grip, very, very good card. The times I've gotten blown out by that card. Anyways, thank you so much for listening, everybody. You can email us your questions, comments, concerns, anything at youngpyrocast@gmail.com. You can join our Discord, link below. And anything else before... Oh, leave us a review or share us with a friend. That's really the best way you can help the podcast out is by sharing with your friends who might like to listen to the podcast. We move towards episode 50, we just thank you all for a pretty great 31 episodes.
Slow down. The next episode's only 32. We can't just skip a bunch.
It is 31. I said 31.
I know, but the next one's 32.
32, and then 33, and then 50, because I can count.
Mm-hmm. Go back to first. All right.
Okay, bye, everybody. Charlie Miles, anything else before we finish?
Thanks for listening.